All Eyes on Fishing with Mitch Peterson, Josh Sheldon, and Brad Qualley, leading you to the next level.
Hey everybody, welcome back to All Eyes on Fishing. This came from a listener who wanted to talk about open water trolling. In some of our other podcasts, we've talked about some trolling, leads and different things like that. But they wanted to talk about some big water and just reservoir trolling, what we do when we're out on the water, and we're going to be focusing on trolling, what that entails.
The process.
Yeah, exactly. What are we going to do?
I think there's a big process to it. I think there's all kinds of different pieces to it.
Yeah, well, I tell you right now, this could be like 7 podcasts because there's so much to trolling.
Well, we may have to. Maybe we call this Open Water Trolling 1.
All right.
Sounds
great. Right.
Well, that was easy.
That's pretty catchy, too.
Settled. Open. So, you know what? We've had the benefit of fishing quite a few different lakes. And since the listener said, hey, we want to talk about reservoirs and also like big water. I'm thinking big water, like when we went and fished in Green Bay, Escanaba, Lake Michigan, things like that, right?
Sure. Yeah, Devil's Lake, Oahe.
Things like that. Yeah. That's big water. Yeah, so we can talk about that, and then I also want to talk about how we apply it to some of our smaller lakes, some of the things we're around here too, because there's a lot of similarities.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, trolling, like we were kind of talking about before we started, trolling's trolling, right?
Trolling's trolling.
And so if you're over 20 feet, or you're over 40 feet, or if you're in the middle of the Great Lakes where you can't see the shore, or you're trolling a shoreline, which, by the way, it's 1,000 times easier to troll open water in the middle of the Great Lakes than it is trying to hug a shoreline or a depth contour.
Oh, yeah.
And so, but, I mean, trolling's trolling. And so I think one of the things we start with is, and we've had questions, and I've seen people ask this on the different Facebook sites and things like this, is, you know, fishing equipment to troll with. And I think it's very important that you start with a line counter reel. I have seen guys say when people ask questions, you don't need a line counter reel. The hell you don't. If you don't have a line counter,
probably the most important thing that you have on there, other than some sort of presentation like a spinner rig or a crankbait, is a trolling rod and with a line counter.
Well, like you said, you've heard people say that you don't need a line counter reel. Well, you don't need treble hooks on the crankbaits either, but they sure help.
I mean, there is ways, and we've done it before. There's ways if you don't have, so you can repeat with without using a line counter reel. But let's talk line counters, because really, if you want to get serious,
if you're going to be a serious open water
troll, and you really want to give it your best shot, let's do this, because there's a thing out there, the Trolling Bible, that we talk about, precision trolling. And it's been out for a long time, and what they do is they set up all the tests for, I mean, God knows how many different cranks that are out there. So we're going to talk crankbaits, and we'll talk spinnerbaits.
And then they talk about, you know, spinners and setting them up on, you know, now they've got lead, you know, what it is with lead
snap
and snap weights and the 50-50 method and the 50+2. And, I mean, it really is super
cool. And they also
do,
they do it with different fire lines on there, or different super lines.
But let's talk about that real quick, because I've seen also a lot of stuff posted and a lot of debate over whether or not you use fireline versus mono when you're trolling. And I can tell you from personal experience, I have used both personally. And there is by far and away more advantages using mono over a super line trolling. The slight advantage of being able to get your bait deeper when you use a super line, it is not nearly as effective as being able to have that mono. And 10-pound mono, which is what everybody bases their trolling information on, is strong enough, is more strong than anything that you would probably ever need it for, and especially open water trolling where the chances of you hitting bottom are pretty slim. And even if you're catching, you know, Lake Erie average 8-pound fish, 10-pound mono is strong.
If I had the choice to fish fireline.
Yeah.
If I had a choice, I would take mono all day long.
100%
fireline trolling. Yep. Would you, Mitch?
Yeah.
Because that's what everything is gauged to.
And,
right?
And also gives you, right?
It tells you where you're at in depth, but it also gives you that little bit of shock absorber too. Get hung up with fireline when you're trolling. It's gonna be hell to pay.
Yeah. And listen. And this is the definitive deal with fireline: is those fish hit And they don't always hit chasing the bait. They may hit going the opposite direction. They may hit from the side. If there is no give, no give in that line, that fish is going to get his hook in his mouth.
Rip it.
And it's going to get pulled out. And remember, and a lot of people don't know this, and I'm kind of surprised by this. You don't hook a fish when he bites. You hook a fish when he opens his mouth to spit it out. Then the hooks and the trebles and everything is coming out, and it catches his mouth on the way out. When he just clomps down on it, you are not catching the fish.
Oh, I don't know.
No, that's the way it is.
Where did you come up with this? Bite down on it and a hook goes in them,
well, but they got them. But they don't necessarily do that. How many? And there's plenty of video out there where you will see bass, walleye, northerns, muskie, great examples, where they'll bite down and they hold it. Put here. I'll let you do this. Take a crankbait.
Have you been drinking?
No, listen. Listen. Take a crankbait.
I'm going to start.
Take a crankbait, stick it in your hand, and hold on to it like this. And, Mitch, you can pull on the other end of the rod as much as you want.
I want to see you do that. We're going to do that video. Right. We're going to shoot a live video.
Yeah. And we'll
you're
going to
hold
a
crankbait. I'm going to yank it as hard
hold
as I can.
Hold it in your mouth, and in your hand, you pull as hard as you can. You're not going to get hooked. The second he's pulling on it and you open your hand, boom, you're going to get hooked. That's the way it is with fish.
You know, you made me realize your theory behind that. It's like, you know, he's got a hold of it so the hooks, the bait can't
move
in his mouth.
That's right.
Because he's clamped down on
right.
it. And as soon as he releases it, then the motion of you trolling.
There you go.
Let's get off of this because here's the thing. If you grab a treble hook and squeeze as hard as you can, that those hooks are not going to go into your skin.
No, they're not. I'm telling you.
Whatever.
I'm telling you. You hold on to it. So when the fish opens his mouth, it goes in. If you have fire line,
because
it will tear through the flesh.
We're gonna move on from this.
Shock
absorber. So what I'm gonna do is we're gonna shoot a video of this, and I'm gonna put just a flicker shad in your hand, and you're gonna squeeze it. But then I'm gonna squeeze your hand to make sure you're not baby squeezing it, like faking it.
Well, if I baby squeeze it, it'll go into my hand. So I'm gonna hold on to it as hard as I can.
We'll see if you have any hooks in you. I'll bring the pliers.
Perfect.
Anyway.
I'll bring the pliers.
Perfect. I'm telling you. Jeez. Nebraska education at its
Mitch,
finest.
What do you agree with me or Josh?
You know, I'm going to have to see the experiment to make my decision.
He's taking
them. I've never seen one bite underwater.
Have you ever reached into your tray of to get bait or to get a...
Yeah, but you're
grabbing. Ooh, now, ouch!
You're grabbing
when
the
you're
edges,
pulling your hand
and it's coming from the edge, and it's if you stick your entire hand over it like a mouth grabbing it and hold it, you're not going to get hooked.
Look,
the second you open it, it's going to come out. And
so anyway, so we're out there trolling. You're going to use mono, all right? And we use a lot of longer rods for we'll run like four rods.
Uh-huh.
So our starboard side will have one rod closest to the steering wheel. That's about 8-9 feet rod, and then we'll have a shorter one that's like a 6 foot rod right off the back end of the boat, and then same
you
pattern.
Do that for your if you're trolling boards or mono or lead. I mean,
yes.
I with lead I do longer and shorter. We call them, you know, the stubbies, right? We do
yeah,
the shorter.
That's exactly what I'm saying, like a 6 foot or 5.5 foot, yeah,
or 4 foot or whatever. But all of my trolling rods are the same length for when I'm doing mono boards, whatever. They're all the same length. The only time I do longer is if I'm going to go long lining it without boards.
Mm-hmm.
Then I have a longer set and a shorter set off the back to keep the separation. But all
yes.
of my trolling rods are the same length. I have the Bass Pro Walleye Signature Series rods I got almost 20 years ago when they first came out with the Daiwa Sea Line Counter reels.
Mm-hmm.
And again, almost 20 years ago, and they both still work like they're brand new. So, I mean, now they're more expensive. They're way more expensive now than they used to be. But that combination, it was one of those, you know, combos you see in the
mm-hmm.
catalog or something because they were new. Golly, that was one of the best purchases I ever made.
We run the Daiwa trolling rod or trolling reel.
The sea line.
Yeah,
the counter.
And then we actually use the Ugly Sticks. And we also use the Depthmaster 2s
from
Cabela's.
Yeah.
So we have... I don't know. We have like a dozen trolling rods, but that's kind of the mixture of those.
Right.
But most of them are a softer tip. You do a softer action just because, well, for boards, it's a little bit different. But your standard long line trolling will have a little bit softer. So it has a little bit of give when you're in the wind or when you're not necessarily in the wind, but when you're in the waves, I mean, and it's moving it, or when a fish hits it, it doesn't... It's kind of like the same principle as that fire line. It doesn't, like, it has some absorption.
Right, some absorption. That's why when you do the mono with the the rod, a correct trolling rod, the combination is enough of a shock absorption that it doesn't pull it out of the fish, doesn't rip it out of its mouth.
Well, I'm big on that. We've got our first trolling rods we got were these Eagle Claws.
Those are great rods. I have them for lead.
Oh, yellers. Yeah. They're yellow.
Awesome.
So they stand up, but oh my gosh, we have caught so many fish on those, and they're great, right? And it's because they're so soft. And most of our rods are soft. Well, we just for this tournament, pulling lead, we busted out the 10-footers.
Ugly stick.
Big game ugly sticks, right?
How'd those go?
So, you know, most ugly sticks have a real soft action, you know, immediately, depending on the action, but it's real flexible. You know, everybody pretty much knows that. Well, with these, they're so big and beefy that the tip is pretty soft, but the overall rod's pretty stiff, I think. You know,
it is. It loads up pretty quick. With a foot and a half down on the rod, it's starting to load up.
Yeah, and sure enough, it burned us.
Oh, really?
Yep. We had probably a 23, 24-inch fish. Coming in, we knew, and we needed it, we finally hooked up, and came right up, right before Brad was going to get it in the net, and, you know, we just saw a flash of it. It was pretty stained water, but we just saw the flash of it to see that it was a great fish, and sure enough, he made that quick, sharp turn when he got close to the surface, and just like that was gone.
The rod didn't have enough give, and it didn't have time to react, you know, and...
I really think that I blame the rod for that.
Yeah.
Even though, you know, it's great having that 10-foot, you know, rods. Right. I mean, we're talking they're
good
giant.
Separation.
Right. Yeah, good, real good separation. But then we
and it was a medium action rod. So when we're buying it, we're like, okay, it feels stouter in the butt end of the reel, but it's like it's probably going to be good. And you never know until you're actually running that.
Well, yeah, that's
probably. I'm telling you,
buying it online.
Yeah. But I'm telling you, those Eagle Claws work great. And the other ugly sticks that we have, the Walleye series, great.
Great.
The white ones, awesome.
Great. Yeah. Yep. Those are brand new. Brand new setup.
7.5, 8 foot, I can't remember, but
yeah, I think they're, great rods. I'm trying to remember the length of mine, but they're just that standard Bass Pro Walleye series from Cavias and Parsons. And they, I mean, dude, I love those rods. And they telescope, so you can, you know, if you have rod lockers that are shorter, they'll suck in about 6 or 7 inches, and I mean, just great rods. I've had them forever, and they're guaranteed. So I can tell you, right before a tournament a few years ago, one got broke. One of my kids stepped on it. Bass Pro overnighted me a new trolling rod the next day.
Really?
Yeah.
That's
really
pretty awesome.
And it was 10, 11 years old. Sent it to me.
Wow.
So they were great. I called them. She said, yep, no problem. She goes, we'll have it there. I said, well, do you want me to pay? She goes, yeah, if you pay, I can't remember what I chipped in, but overnighted to me the next night. So it was like 12 bucks or something. I got a new rod. Off to the tournament I left, yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
So it was good, but okay. So now we kind of covered equipment, line. We all agree mono's the line. I know fire line is stronger, but you don't need that extra strength when you're open water trolling.
I say we stay away from lead on this too, because we have some lead course series out there, and we're going to do some more.
And we,
lead.
Yeah, and we need to cover more. And lead
it's
is
kind
a,
of a different deal.
It's
anyway.
A whole beast, different beast it all on its own. So we've you know, buy a trolling rod and a line counter reel that are specific for it. Don't try to buy something and make it into it. Don't buy a rod, add-on
line counter. That does not work.
No, and the fishing rods that aren't designed for it. You can't get a bait casting rod and because it's, you know, it looks like the same type of rod and have it work right. It won't. Those, especially if you use planer boards, it'll snap that sucker in half. So use the correct equipment. That's number one. Plus, it'll save you a ton of headaches.
Real quick thing about the line counter reel. The most important reason for a line counter reel is so you can replicate.
Absolutely.
And
consistency.
Do it again. Yep. So a lot of times if we don't say fish are suspended and we're marking them and we just get to the lake and we're trying to put together a program, well, we may let out, you know, one rod with 60 off the board, 180, 100, sure. 120. You know, maybe they're probably different baits too, right? But all those different depths will be able to hit the different
water column.
Yeah, right. Different areas in the water column. Well, boom, once you start putting it together, yeah, pretty soon, guess what? Now you're all running all the same color baits and all at 80 feet behind the board.
Well, that's
and there's several times where, like, I'll be picking up fish and Mitch won't, or vice versa, and we've narrowed it down in a water column on suspended fish, or even fish that are on the bottom or whatever, and it would be like, yeah, no, I'm 80 feet out, and I'll be picking them up, and I'm 77. And he goes up to 77 or vice versa, and you start picking up fish. It matters that much. It's close enough. No, it's not.
No.
It's repeat what's working.
Right. And remember, it's all dependent on speed, too. So you know, that goes into a whole nother series of boat control and, you know, aluminum versus glass and all that other stuff, but it's speed dependent. So you need to remember that when you're trolling these cranks, it's speed dependent. And if you get fish on one pass and you turn around and you go right back through and you're still marking them, but you're not getting them, maybe your speed's messed up, or maybe the you're going with the wind instead of into the wind,
well,
or something like that.
And usually we'll start off, like, so like when we're trolling, here's what I wanted to talk a little bit, because when you talk speed, we talk S turns. So when we're going out on the water and it's new for that day, we haven't developed a pattern, we know we're going to be trolling suspended fish, we usually start about that 1.5 mark, 1.8 mark, something like that. Mm-hmm. Just kind of a general, mm-hmm. you know, but you stick with that for your straight line. But then we will start doing S turns. So when you're turning to the right, the those baits that are on the port side of your, or I mean on the starboard side of your boat mm-hmm. are slowing down. Mm-hmm. And the other ones vice versa are speeding up. And then when you turn back to the left, they change back and forth when you're straight line, and then you're going 1.5 again.
Yeah.
But that's where you start marking your speed. Because where do you start off with speed? That's the hard thing, guys. Mm-hmm. Well, is it 1.5? Should I do 2? Should I do 2.5? Mm-hmm. Well, if you're pulling at 1.5 and your boards are and you're picking up fish on the outside turn, those baits have picked up to probably 2. So right. now you know you can straight line at 2, and if you start picking up your fish, that's your speed you're looking for.
Right.
You know?
Right. Well, and so, I, you know, I was going to segue into Mitch before I got hijacked on my right. But so we were, it, like Mitch said, you know, you it's letting out the line. So let's say for the sake of this discussion, we're going to be using planer boards, and we're open water trolling, which is most often what you use. We use offshore planer boards. I don't care what series you like. I don't care if you like a different brand, but that basic type of planer board system is what you need. Mm-hmm. You can have tattletale flags, which are the flags that go down when you get a bite, or not. It's up to you. Either way, you have to learn how to read the boards. Typically, what happens when the boards are off to the side of the boat and you're trolling, if you get a fish, it will pull that board back towards the middle of the boat to indicate you have a
or
fish.
Or the bottom of the board will sink.
Right. Some. The back of it.
The back of the yep. back of the board, and you'll see it dip down.
Dip down, and it almost looks like it's kind of dancing with the nose up mm-hmm. across the waist. So that is what we're going to do for the topic, or for the sake of the discussion.
Look at our YouTube video on
absolutely,
planer boards.
Absolutely, yeah, from Pueblo
Reservoir. It shows us using it.
And we have the planer boards that we use on our webpage under podcast products. So it's in there. So you guys can go right to it. It links to it, so you can buy them if that's what you want to do. But what we need to talk about is, like Mitch said, the important piece is dialing it in. And so a great tip and something that you all should know is, I know if you use bandits or larger crankbaits or stick baits, and then you mix them in with shad type baits, some baits go deeper than others, just with the amount of line out, whatever.
Sure.
We did this a lot in Michigan when we were on base to knock. You put your baits that go shallower or your smaller baits on your outside boards.
Yes.
And you put your baits that are going to go deeper on your inside boards. And the reason being is it goes from, you know, more shallow out to the side of the boat. It's further away from the boat, so there's less chance that they would spook from the boat in the super clear water of the Great Lakes because the zeeb mussels, right? With it being further out like that, you can also run it shorter distances behind the boat and fish those fish that are higher up in the water column. And it's easier to do on the outside.
Yeah, because so the shorter distance, what you're talking about, like if you're running like a rogue and you only want to fish 4 feet down, sure. you're going to have like 30 feet out behind yeah. that board. If you did that right behind your boat, that's 30 feet
right.
behind your board.
Well, or even like we were doing, whatever. Right, even like we were doing an Escanaba, even if you had like a deep husky jerk.
Sure.
You know, well, we wanted it only 4 feet under the surface,
yeah, so
we ran it 7 feet behind the board.
Yeah.
But still, it was still very yeah. effective. So that's the kind of thing. So we run a lot of sevens and fives as far as flicker shads and baits, you know, shad wraps, whatever you want to run. We'll put the fives on the outsides, the sevens on the inside. And that way it's deeper towards the center of the boat. Also, you know, for us in a reservoir system, sometimes you can come up on an island or, you know, with the water levels fluctuating even overnight. And those outside boards might go from, you know, 12 feet of water up to 4 feet of water. And you wouldn't even know it because the boat's in 15 feet of water consistently. Mm-hmm. So you run those bigger baits deeper. They're going to stay more behind the boat, just off to the side of the boat.
You have more control because you're seeing what's right under
your boat.
That's
right. And those other ones, even if it came up, you're running them up higher in the water column. It doesn't matter. You're not going to get hung up. So that's a great tip if you're, you know, fishing different sized baits or different depths of baits. That helps keep them pretty, you know, pretty in line and out of each other's way. Also, they don't cross as much when you have that. Mm-hmm. If you had a bait that digs harder on the outside and you make those S turns, that bait is going to dig in and it's not going to go, you know, it's going to, not suck out to the white side of the boat.
With that though, like I know there's been times like when we're over in Lake McConaughey, which is a
big,
like 22 miles long, and we're running a shoreline for 2 miles.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, it's a long pull at 1.5. You know, it's going to take you a while to get there. It's going to it's an hour.
Yeah.
So because you know that they're on that shoreline. Yes, general rule of thumb is to kind of run that U pattern. Yep. Shallow, deeper, deep, shallow. Yep. You know what I mean? But we've also done it. If we're fishing a break and in a body of water that you know, or one that you've been working, then we can go shallow, deeper, deeper, deeper if we're still trying to pattern these fish where they're at. So you could, if your shoreline could be 5 foot, then your next board away from the shore could be 8 foot, and then 12, and then 20.
Yep, and 20, and then the farthest board is either way, way high, because it's way out in the open water side, or it's one with a snap weight, and it's super deep. And McConaughey is a great example. McConaughey has a ton of sunken timber.
A ton of cottonwoods.
You know, ton of them, right? And so, you know, as it starts sloping out towards the main lake, those cottonwood tops, which you're commonly fishing, they're sloping out too. So to keep those baits above those cottonwood tops, you do want to stair-step them down. Yeah. And that's a little more advanced, and it can be pretty tricky sometimes.
That's when you have to know the water you're fishing.
Yeah, absolutely. You need to have made a couple passes.
I do agree with you. General rule of thumb, you're going to run that U-pattern.
That U-pattern, especially if it's open water, Great Lakes. You get big, long stretches where you're fishing 14, 16 feet of water. And it's, you know, I mean, there's not much change. Maybe a rock island here and there. But that's pretty...
it's probably on your graph.
Yeah, it's on your graph. You know it's there. You know it's in your GPS. But so we have the boards. We're going to run a U-pattern. We're going to run different baits, right? And the key is you need to decide, am I going to run baits straight off the board, straight off the back, right? Like you said, Mitch, 20 feet, 40 feet, 80 feet. Or am I going to do snap weights? Am I going to do the 50-50 method where I run 50 feet of line from the board, put on a snap weight, 1 ounce, and then another 50 feet, and that drops that bait
down. That precision trolling will tell you exactly whatever bait you're running at three different speeds of how deep it will. It's balls on.
Exactly.
I mean, it's right there.
Exactly.
Now, the thing you got to remember, and we can talk spinner baits too, because they're really, really good for crawler harnesses.
Absolutely.
Up in the Great Lakes. Now, it's usually pull those a little slower. I mean, those are going to be more around that 1.13 mark, right?
Yep.
Usually not run at cranks that slow. Sometimes you do spring, you're going to be running slower, fall, you know, night fishing. Sometimes you're going to. But typically, when we are out there fishing too, we run spinners or cranks.
Yeah.
Very seldom do you cross them unless it's a slow crank bite.
Or then a very small crank bait that you're running that can go slower,
That can go slower.
Yep.
So you can, but typically we don't.
Right. And we use the quick clips on the end of your line for the both spinner and crank baits, because obviously you can change baits right away, but with the spinner baits we like to use the inline weights. Or I do, you know, or
we do
you can use or you can use snap weights. Either one, it doesn't matter, it's just your preference. But remember, when you're trolling spinners, very speed dependent, because you are going slower. You start to get into some wind or some waves, and since you are using weight in line, and there's no dive, you know, there's not a build, and there's no buoyancy in the bait, then it's, you know, if that boat starts to stop in
the
wind, it's going to drop right down to the bottom.
And that's a 1 ounce weight can get down.
Zebra mussels, gobies, those are all an issue in the Great Lakes and the bigger water trolling. Here, it's just down into the trees or the snaggy, you know, rock shoreline, and you got issues. So, you know, keep that in mind. Very speed dependent. And if you are on a busy lake and you see those waves coming from that wakeboard that went by, you know, speed up so when you hit them, it doesn't drop your baits, because it will. And it can get you into a mess.
Well, I think this is going to be trolling series one.
It's got to
Because we're probably 20-some minutes into this thing, and we're already going to have to wrap it up.
I'm telling you, I'm sitting here listening to all this and throwing it in, and we need to name this podcast a can of worms, because we just opened up a whole can of worms. Every single thing we talked about just now, we could have a podcast on pretty easily.
Right.
There's a lot of little things that we'd love to pass on. So,
well, from all of us at All Eyes on Fishing, we are going to wrap this up. We will, in the future, break down trolling a little bit more and just get it into specific topics of trolling. This is just kind of a general guide, general equipment, how you kind of want to run your, get the precision trolling, how you want to run your baits and U pattern or stair step them if you know the lake real well. and just kind of how you can do cranks and spinners and what that entails. So from all of us at All Eyes on Fishing, want to make sure that we appreciate you guys following us and listening to our podcast.
Sending us pictures and giving us great ideas. And
we love the interaction, too. You guys that email us with questions, and we kind of go back and forth. It's awesome.
Comment on our posts on Facebook and Instagram. I mean, we really have a good time. I spend a lot of time answering emails, and everybody in here spends a lot of time answering pictures and talking to everybody. And so, and we all have, as you can tell, a different opinion. So that's what
fishing's
cool.
about.
Yeah.
So from if you have anything that you want us to cover, make sure you send us an email. AllEyesOnFishing@gmail.com. Check out our website at AllEyesOnFishing.com. And also, if you're listening to this, you're listening to our podcast, but share it with your friends. Let them know.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, this thing has really taken off really well, and we appreciate it because it's of you guys.
Yep.
So from all of us, have a good night.
This has been All Eyes on Fishing. Thank you for joining us. Join us again next time, where we discuss all of your favorite fishing topics. Follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Check out our videos on YouTube or read our blog at alleyesonfishing.com. All Eyes on Fishing, leading you to the next level.